The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
And welcome back to another spring training edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. More reaction to the Rafi Devers, Alex Bregman saga as far as who plays where. Some quotes from Tristan Casas, which were not on the previous show. We'll give reaction to that with me tonight. I'm Terry Cushman, by the way. Jason Kelly and Jeremy Schilling. How are you, gentlemen?
Not too bad. Yeah, a little drama this week. So you can tell that, spring training's underway. It's nice that we actually have like something to talk about with this team. After last year, there really wasn't much as the summer went on. So it's nice that they're already off to an exciting start, even if it's for some of the wrong reasons, maybe. But it's good they're at least grabbing some headlines.
For content creators, it's been a great month.
Oh, yeah.
Terry, I'm confused. Okay. That's my word.
All right.
I'm confused. It seems like professional athletes don't get it. So,
well,
I'm confused by some behavior.
I'm just going to say it's nice to have first world problems rather than third world problems like we have the last few years. So, yeah.
Well, I texted the group the night of the Bregman signing, and I'm sitting on my couch. I was thinking about baseball. It wasn't even on. I think I'm excited for the Red Sox for the first time in probably since 2018, 2019.
Yeah.
So, I mean, man.
When that news dropped, I just stared at my phone for like 60 seconds of just shock and like just trying to process it, you know, and it just felt like we were out and there was all that Arenado momentum and it felt like that's where we were going. And then to see that John Henry is going to, I know money's deferred, but it's still a $40 million a year contract as far as I'm concerned. And so just crazy, we think we know where he's going to play, but nothing's really confirmed yet. So Jason, go ahead. What's your reaction to how this week unfolded?
Yeah, this is one of those situations where I don't think the manager or Rafael Devers really covered themselves in glory on this one. I'll start with the manager, though, because, you know, Bregman signs and all indications are, yep, he's signing. And the idea is he's going to play second base. And that's, you know, that was the passing report. That's kind of what we all ran with. Thought, okay, that makes sense. Now you're not putting pressure on Christian Campbell to try to win the job out of spring training. Now putting pressure on Vaughn Grissom, who is still trying to build his value back up and still trying to get back to the form that he was in when he was with Atlanta. So great. Bregman plays second. He's been a shortstop before in his amateur days, so shouldn't be that hard of a transition. He's got the right body type for it. Perfect. But then Alex Cora's asked at the podium down there in Fort Myers, so Bregman's your second baseman for 2025, right? And he says, well, no, we haven't really locked that in. You know, we'll see where we're at. We're still figuring some stuff out roster-wise, and there's a lot going on. So we'll make that decision when we come to it. And I'm sitting there going, wait, so you spent all offseason telling the fan base we're not moving Rafael Devers, despite being linked to two third basemen in free agency, Nolan Arenado by trade and Alex Bregman in free agency, despite all the rumors of possibly trading Tristan Casas, and all that could facilitate moving Devers to first. But despite all that, all we heard from Alex Cora and Craig Breslow was, well, Devers has really improved his defense, and he's our third baseman, and we're not moving him off of that. We signed him as a third baseman. He's going to stay there. But then Alex Bregman gets here, Alex Cora's new shiny toy, and he can't just answer the question, yes, he's our second baseman. He says, well, we'll figure it out. So that was annoying from the start, that Cora and Breslow are talking out of both sides of their mouth. The second part that was annoying is that Devers apparently is losing his mind about it. And that's, you know, that might be hyperbole, but he's clearly upset by it. And I'm sitting here going, Devers, dude, you've sucked defensively every single year. Like, you haven't really made great strides defensively. And I know last year, the two bad shoulders, if you want to write off last year for him, fine. But it's not like he's putting himself in gold glove contention. He still boots routine plays. And I still think that if he really puts the work in, he can be a very solid, very good defensive third baseman. But he's acting like he's a gold glover and they're trying to move him off the position. And he just needs to kind of realize and be a little self-aware that your defensive numbers have been awful. You rank among the worst third basemen in baseball defensively year after year. So you can't sit here and get all defensive, you know, pardon the pun, and get all upset when they bring in a gold glove caliber, superstar caliber third baseman, and people ask the question, oh, is he going to take over third? And then him leaving training camp or leaving spring training, I know it was for like his daughter's birthday party, but that timing was really bad on his part. It didn't look good. And then just being asked, are you going to move, you know, are you willing to move to first? No, I'm a third baseman. I'm not moving, which some people took as, well, he's got pride in his position. He's got a fire lit under him now. I sort of took it as like, no, I'm a third baseman and I don't care that you brought this new guy in. He's not taking my job, which is not helpful. Okay. Especially for a team that has sucked for the last couple of years and is trying to get back to the playoffs. You kind of want a guy like Devers, who's supposed to be one of your leaders, to be a little bit more acquiescing to that. So Devers doesn't come off great. He's going to have to really prove himself this year, especially defensively. I mean, at the plate, I think he's going to be fine, especially if his shoulders are better off now. He's still going to do the usual 25-plus homers, close to 100 ribbies, you know, OPS over 800, you know, all that stuff. That's great. Defensively, he's got to be sharp, because those first 2 months, if he's booting the ball around and the Red Sox infield looks like it did last year, where they just didn't look like they knew how to play baseball, and part of it is that Devers keeps, you know, throwing the ball away or booting it in front of him, then Cora and the rest of us are going to sit here going, this is why Bregman's here, because, dude, I don't know if you can handle it. So it's going to be a lot of pressure on Devers. He's going to have to really prove himself defensively. But in terms of the whole saga, I think the majority of the blame goes on Cora, because his messaging was not clear. He contradicted himself, and, you know, he put Devers in a tough spot where he's now, you know, painted as this disgruntled superstar at the start of spring training, which is not a good sign. So hopefully they all work it out. I'm sure they will. I know they had a pizza party or something at Cora's house the night after it happened. They say everything's fine. We'll see. They'll probably be okay. They'll probably move on, but there's going to be a lot more eyes on that third base position now.
Jeremy.
Yeah, so I have a different view of this, Jason. I think, you know, respectfully, of course, Cora is asked to comment on Devers in the offseason before we sign Bregman. Why would he not say Devers is our third baseman? There was never a guarantee we were going to get Bregman or Arenado or, you know, I mean, so when you're commenting in the offseason, you really need to be limiting it to who your roster is at the time. And at the time, I think he truthfully said Devers is our third baseman. Now, you go get Bregman, who is a gold glove third baseman, a much better defender. He makes you better by putting him at third. Cora has to tell the truth again, essentially. Look, and he didn't go into this, but I'll say it. Look, if Campbell comes up and wins the job and is your starting second baseman, guess what? Spoiler alert, Bregman's your starting third baseman, and Devers is either DHing, or if Casas is traded, he's playing first base and allowing Yoshida to get in the lineup at DH. So, I mean, that's where he's at. I don't think he's done anything but answer truthfully. I think the Bregman signing is just inconvenient. you've already reported and then you sign him, and it just, it, the timing of it's all messed up. Where I cast the blame is Rafael Devers. Act like a pro, please. Like, you already get the pass. You don't have to speak to the media. You, in fact, don't speak to the media. And the media essentially lets you off the hook, whether it's by they've tried and failed or the team's like, he's off limits, guys. But everyone else has to get in front of the media when they make a mistake or play well or whatever. But they still have to get in front of the media. Devers doesn't. So he has an obligation in spring training to say something, and he handles it like this. Okay, now here's the good news. In 1995, this happened with John Valentine. He was the established shortstop, and a young player was coming up through the system, Nomar Garciaparra. And Valentine did the exact same thing Devers did. He went away for 2 days. He came back. He bitched and moaned. He went to second base for 80 games. He went to third base for the balance of the season, and he finished in the top 10 in MVP voting. So Devers is going to get over it, I think. I'm hopeful. If he goes in the tank on this, we are in trouble, guys, because we got him for 9 more years. I think he'll go through his little pissing and moaning thing that he's going to do to try to create leverage to keep him at third. It won't. The best version of this team is Campbell ascends, Bregman to third, Devers to DH. That's your best team. That's your best lineup. And guess what? You're going to get support of the roster because Crochet doesn't want to pitch if he has a choice with Devers at third instead of Bregman. No one would. No rational arm would want to be on the mound saying, especially after Devers commits another 20 to 30 errors, well, what are we doing over here, guys? I've now got a guy on second base because Devers just threw it into the Loge box. Why is Bregman's on the roster playing second base? It doesn't make any sense. So I think it's going to work itself out in the long run. Obviously, we're so starved for baseball. Football ended. We're starved for a good product. We've been not promised. We feel like a good product is there, and we're on the verge of winning for the first time in a long time. And it's natural that the media, the fans squeeze harder, and that's a byproduct of what's going on with this whole situation. So that's my take on it. I know we're going to get it to Costas in a minute, but that's where I'm at on the Devers Cora. And I also think Cora came today, and I read the quote. I'll paraphrase it because I didn't memorize it. But essentially he said, we don't come in day one and tell players what they can and can't say. You know, if Costas feels that's the way the roster should be built, we don't tell him he can't talk like that. And in effect, he supports everyone instead of singling one player out. So we'll see. I think he did the same thing here with the Devers Bregman situation.
So a couple things here. I'm the most sympathetic of anybody on this crew when it comes to Devers. I think first base is the obvious solution here. We'll get to Costas in a minute, but he's not a great defender at first base. I don't think this organization likes Costas. We'll get into that more. He can DH. Devers can play first. Costas isn't a great defender, so you can't even do that. But as far as third goes, why I'm sympathetic with Devers is because he has gotten better year over year with the defense, and last year was his best year. Was it great by the metrics? Absolutely not. But was it detrimental to the team? Not really. Not really. And you look at Pablo Sandoval versus who was a third baseman, just like Devers is. He signed his massive deal and went straight to the buffet table. And a lot of people are saying Devers is heavy. Devers came in badly out of shape. We saw him working out today. He was wearing a hoodie. He didn't look that heavy to me, maybe a little, but nothing that the next 5 weeks won't work out. So I'm done with the Devers overweight thing. But Devers got the biggest contract extension in the history of the organization. And his effort just, it got more and more and more. It didn't decrease. He didn't get lazy because he got paid. So that's why I'm sympathetic with Devers. Now, again, move him to first. I think that's a fair compromise. I think if you put him over to first and he's kicking and screaming, okay, he'll get over it. And then Bregman can go to third. But here's the other thing, too. Devers made a massive commitment. He basically signed on to play for the Boston Red Sox for his whole career when he made that commitment. And Bregman might only be a one-year rental. Okay? And I had a ton of pushback today when I made that exact take. And he didn't sign. What got him to sign at the last minute was the Red Sox finally put the opt-outs in. So I'm saying he's still a rental for now. And if he doesn't opt out, that's probably bad, right? He probably didn't live up to the contract in the first year. So, but having said that, it's only for 3 years. There's not a bad 3-year contract, in my opinion, really, for a cornerstone player. So that's where I'm at. And here's a question for you. Let's say Devers does go to DH, which in my opinion is the worst case scenario. What's more detrimental to the team? Devers committing 12 errors at third, 2 a month, or Devers not being locked in? Because to me, it's the latter.
But who's to say he wouldn't be more locked in if all he has to focus on is hitting? You know, maybe he does get to a point where, you know, whether he wants to give up position or not, you know, once he starts DHing and he realizes, oh, all I have to do is go out there and mash 4 times a game, you know, that might lock him in even more offensively to the point where, because you hear David Ortiz talk about it all the time. Like, he's another version of me with the way he approaches things at the plate. If Devers turns into that, then that's fine. That's actually more beneficial to the team. If you go out, you know, if, you know, Bregman stays and goes to third, or, you know, whether it's whatever, you know, Marcelo Mayer in a year or two is ready to play third. I know they're working him out there or something like that. I think that's actually fine. I would rather him embrace the DH role now than, you know, have him playing third base when he's 33, committing 21 errors, but he won't move and he's got to stay there because of his pride.
I think his heart is too set on keeping his glove at the moment anyway. And I think Devers is a future DH. Don't get me wrong. Not at age 28, but perhaps age 31, age 32.
Anyway, I think if
let me just say one last thing. Now, if he's horrendous and he's pitching a fit to the media and it's just a circus and it's June or July, I'll come on here and say, okay, DH him. But until that's where we have to be for me to get there. But go ahead, Jeremy.
I'd take it one step further. If he's a petulant child in the middle of the summer, I would trade him.
Oh, that's hard. He's just so clutch. I get it, but I'd hate to do that. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
So we can talk about that more in a second. So my answer to your question is, if he goes to DH and his production is noticeably lower, then I have a problem with the player. So let me be clear before Johnny and the mob tweets at me. I don't have a problem with the player. I like Devers. I want Devers to be a lifelong Red Sox. I personally don't mind that he speaks to the media. I love the way he plays the game. He plays it with a smile, like all of it. But if you go and there's a noticeable dip in production, that's on Devers. Find a new routine. Go down into the tunnel and hit off a tee. You know, have a coach throw you some light batting practice. Watch tape. Anticipate who's coming up in the bullpen. Who am I going to see? Let me go update my understanding of their pitch chart. What's their hot and cold zones? What are they going to throw me 2-1 if I can get ahead in the count? Watch your prior at-bats in that particular game. How are they attacking me this series? Let me think about my approach, because my next at-bat's the biggest one for me in this game. If he needs defense to be a productive offensive player, then something's happened and I'm going to be thinking differently about the player. All right. So that's where I'm at. I mean, look, so last year at the picnic table, he said, we want ownership in the front office to build improve this roster. And I remember coming on when I got back on the podcast mentioning that. I remember specifically. Then at the end of the year, he had some comments about, I want to see a better roster. And now he's saying, but whoa, 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 not at my position? How is that consistent? It's not. because you can change positions, and now you have a balanced roster, a more balanced roster. You can go right left, which is something we talked about 3 weeks ago. I think the same crew. We're talking about the imbalance in the lineup. That's been addressed, assuming people stay healthy. You get better at a key position on defense. I mean, essentially, they went out and did what he had asked, which is improve the roster. And now it's like, well, not this improvement. I don't like this improvement. It's amateur hour. It's what are we talking about? You're more focused on yourself and not the team, the team that you're married to for another decade. And by the way, going to DH only does a number of positive things for you. Preserves your body, gives you that opportunity to focus on why you're making your money, because you're not being paid to be a good third baseman, because you're not. Right. And it makes you more marketable if you get to the end of that deal and you're 38 years old or 37 years old, I think, to maybe get another 2-year deal and extend your career while you try to build your numbers to probably get in the Hall of Fame. So I'm just, again, I started out by saying, Terry, you asked me how I was doing. I say, I'm confused. I'm confused by the response. They went out, they got a player that improved the roster. He has to have a little bit of sacrifice, but how does he not see that it's for the greater good? It's very confusing. And by the way, it's not how I thought this was going to go. I never considered for a second until the interview that he was going to be a petulant child about this thing. I never saw it coming.
I knew he didn't want a DH. I mean, you heard in December that his agents were getting involved and asking the front office questions. And I said on the previous show, when Cora basically put it on Heim, even if that's true, I didn't like it, because that tells me that Cora just doesn't have Devers back. And like Jason said, the communication wasn't there previously. That could have been, things could have been smoothed over. And I just think it was a very abrupt change. And I just don't think it was great. I mean, this organization hasn't really been relevant for a while now, and Devers has been the most relevant thing about it. So, you know, I get it. I get it. And like I said, I've never questioned the effort with Devers.
Well, on their last part, Terry, the Angels had Ohtani and Trout, and they were never relevant. They had the two best players in baseball. They were never relevant. Relevancy is dictated by wins and losses. So I don't care that we have one good player. That's, again, the Angels are the perfect example of you're not relevant unless you win. You know, I mean, I personally wanted the Angels to win because I wanted to see Trout and Ohtani in the playoffs. And now that we've seen Ohtani in the playoffs, you know, I was right to hope for him to get there with that team, but he just never did. And I forgot what I was going to say about the other part. I forgot about what I was going to say on the first part of what you said.
Heim or anything?
Oh, the Heim comment. Yeah, okay. You know what I think from that? I think that was the day that Cora probably met with Devers, and he was extremely frustrated by the interactions he was having with him. That, for me, was out of character for Cora, and I think he wants that one back. But I think that was some bubbling over frustration, is my guess.
He shouldn't have said it to Devers, because what?
I agree with you. And I don't think if Cora had that, if he could handle that conversation again, he would do it differently.
Yeah, because if Devers is hearing it, how he's taking that is Cora's like telling him, "Well, I didn't think you were a third baseman. Heim did," and it was just a terrible way to do it. It's like when you're arguing with your wife and your girlfriend and you got that ace in the hole, but it's nuclear, and it's just like, even though you got it, you can't use it. That was what that was. And the answer is yes.
Go ahead. No, I cut you off. Go ahead, Terry.
I was going to say the answer is yes. I've gone nuclear before when I shouldn't have. But
I think we all have.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of a different twist on that. I don't think Cora is saying, I don't think, Raffy, you're a third baseman. I think he's saying, we have Bregman now. You know, we have Bregman now. It changes the circumstances.
Yeah.
And if I'm Cora, I'd be a little bit frustrated that he doesn't see it. Again, Raffy, you asked for us to improve the roster. We're back on MLB Network at the gym again. I'm watching Red Sox discussion for the first time, you know, on national TV. It's a consensus good move, and yet he's upset. It doesn't make sense. I would be frustrated with Cora. And
let's
if I was Cora.
So let's just pivot slightly here. Other players have had media sessions. One was Tristan Casas, and he will take the bait every time. They asked Tristan, well, where do you think Bregman should play? And like, no hesitation, I think he should play at second base. And of course he is. Now, let me say this. This isn't the Valentine Euclid spat. It's not at that level, or at least at this point. But when that did happen, Euclid had a key veteran on the team to back him, Dustin Pedroia. Devers doesn't have that. It's all a bunch of young kids. Maybe Duran could kind of be the guy, I guess. But so Devers had Casas to come to the rescue. And Casas is the guy that right now that's very lucky to still be here if being here is important to him. And I don't think Alex Cora is a Tristan Casas guy. And I think because of that, that's a big motivator to try to trade him, and a big reason we were hearing rumors. But Jason, go ahead. Thoughts on the Casas?
Tristan Casas continues to prove to be the most polarizing player on this team. He's been that way since he was called up. Half the fan base adores him and thinks he is just the cat's ass and everything he does is hilarious and awesome. The other half, which includes myself, thinks he's insufferable. And I wish he was a Mariner right now instead of in Fort Myers, running his mouth. And, you know, I'm not one that says, like, I don't want players to show personality. I'm fine with that. When you've barely been on the field, though, when you only played 63 games last year because of a rib injury and you took forever to come back, when guys like Trevor Story, who we thought were going to be out for the season, rushed his recovery and came back to help the team when they were, you know, outside the bubble of the wild card. When you're the young kid who has barely been on the field and is still kind of unproven because he had such an up and down first year and then missed so much time the second year, I don't want to hear from you about the roster construction. I don't want to hear from you saying, yep, Rafael Devers should play third. And Alex Bregman, who's been in the league for 9 years, has won a World Series, has been a multi-time Gold Glover, should play second. Like, imagine Bregman, like, hearing that. This kid, Tristan Casas, is going to tell me what position I should play? Seriously? No. So it's just, and I do appreciate the reporters down there asking questions like this to a guy like Tristan Casas, because you're so right. He'll take the bait, because no one loves to hear himself talk more than Tristan Casas. And it's usually about himself, right? His tanning, his yoga, his mental swings, whatever. But now that you've got him talking about other players, oh, it's such juicy content for people like us, because he gives it away every single time. He should have just said, that's not up to me. That's up to the manager. You'll have to ask Alex Cora. That's not up to me. I'm just looking forward to playing baseball. But nope, instead he goes up there and goes, yeah, I think Devers is the best third baseman in baseball. He should play third base. I wouldn't take anyone over Rafael Devers. And then they go, well, about Alex Bregman, your newest teammate who just signed a really lucrative deal here. Yeah, he should play second, even though he's been a third baseman his whole career. He should play second because I think Devers should play third. And then he goes a step further because they ask him, what do you think of the big three? You know, should any of them be on the roster opening day? No, they shouldn't, because we have a good enough mix of veterans. I don't think any of those kids should make it. Like, so not only is he telling Alex Bregman, a veteran, where he should play, he's also telling the other young kids whose position he was in just a few years ago, now you shouldn't make the opening day roster. You're not ready. We're good enough without you. Like, it's just the lack of self-awareness on this kid is unbelievable. And look, I hear people keep saying it. If you don't like Tristan Casas now, just wait till the documentary drops. I'm sure he's even more insufferable than that. We already saw a teaser of it. It was like a 25-second clip or something of him grounding out. And then he's just, you know, it ends the inning. So he's, you know, taking his batting gloves off, throws his helmet down. And it's one of the classic Tristan Casas look at me moments, because he knows he's mic'd for the documentary. So he's stomping around the infield. What are you doing, Tristan? Oh, got to be better than this, Tristan. And he just, and it goes on for like 15 seconds. It's like, all right, we get it, dude. Like, look at me. Look at how hard I am on myself. Like, look at how much I care. It's just, oh, it's so nauseating with this guy. And the season hasn't even started yet. Like, it's unbelievable. So, and look, Cora, as Jeremy mentioned, Cora said, he's like, we're going to let these guys talk. If they want to talk, you know, go ahead. But I think Cora can't stand him. I think Cora is just like trying to bite his tongue and be like, yep, it's okay. We like to let him talk, right? But behind closed doors, he's got to be going, oh my God, Tristan, shut up. Just shut up. Stop talking. Get on the field and stop talking. So I can't wait for this guy to either be traded or just maybe just shut up and play and actually live up to the potential that everyone tells us that you have. But preferably, I'd prefer to see him in another uniform, and I'd prefer a different first baseman going forward because I can't stand this kid.
Well, Jason, you said a lot of what I was going to say. I've been on the anti-Casas bandwagon forever. He's proven absolutely nothing. His entire reputation is built on the back of the second half of the 23 season. He hasn't done anything to warrant having this opinion. I don't even think this is appropriate coming from Devers, let alone some kid who's done nothing. Now, here's the thing you said, and I'm going to tie it back together. You said most of the time it's about himself. I interpreted everything he said back to himself. If Devers has to move to first, well, then either Casas is going to DH or he's outside the organization. So literally everything people are viewing this as, oh, he's backing his boy Devers. No. He's backing his boy Casas. And in doing so, he doesn't have any problem stepping on and potentially upsetting Bregman, Anthony, Meyer, Campbell. So he's not supporting teammates. He's not doing it. It just so happens that it looks like he's supporting Devers. He's not. Again, you said, I'm not going to say everything you said because you honestly took my take, or didn't take it. You said it first. I cannot stand this guy. I cannot stand him. He is so obnoxious. He's so clueless. He's like the guy on Twitter that has no original thought, but he has to comment on everybody else's tweet. Like, bro, no one asked for your opinion. Shut the bleep up. And just go prove it. And then maybe next year after 32 bombs and 103 RBIs and you hit 270, you get on base at a 325 clip. Now you have some cachet. Now you have some clout. Now you can have an opinion. Now you can talk about contract and money. Now you can talk about what you expect the organization to do moving forward. You're not even there, bro. You're not there. Oh, I hate the guy. I hate him.
There's a good chance he isn't on the opening day roster because he's not in the organization. You can find a dance partner. You're not going to get the package you thought you would have gotten in November. But the San Diego Padres don't really have a first baseman. And they've got an elite closer at the end of their bullpen. I would start there. I would get an elite closer.
How would you pull that off, Terry? Casas isn't worth anything right now.
I think he's got upside. I really do.
I think would you be willing to do Casas and multiple prospects for that to go get that closer?
I don't think it would. It would take too much more, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, he's a 33-year-old closer. You know, I think there's a move that can be made. And even if I'm way off, you can still get prospects. You can get a couple of decent prospects. It's not going to be what the White Sox got from us in the Crochet deal. It wouldn't be that type of a package. But you could get a couple of guys with some upside that could play a role, you know, in a year or two. And that fixes a lot of things because now you've freed up that spot for Devers. Short of Vladimir Jr., there's nobody in the organization that's a long-term first baseman. And you can make that promise to Raffy. They're saying, look, come off of third. We'll put you at first. We won't mess with it. You'll play there as long as you want. You get Vladimir, you know, that's like the best possible problem to have. And we're going to get into him in the next show. But I just don't see, he's like the elephant in the room. He's like the annoying kid. And I think they just want to be done with him. I don't think he has any friends in that clubhouse. And certainly, I mean, Campbell and Anthony aren't Casas guys at this point. So he's alienating the prospects who aren't even here yet, who are much better defenders, much probably profile better offensively. So that's what I would do. And then you kind of have to commit to Yoshida for another year, at least. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with Bregman at third, Story at short, Campbell at second, Devers at first. That's a pretty good infield. And when people say, well, he's never played first, I've said over and over the last few shows, Mike Napoli did it. And I sat there a whole winter of he's never going to be a good first baseman, and he was fine. And then Hanley Ramirez did it, you know? So I don't see why Devers couldn't field his position over there. He's not like towering. He doesn't have Paul Goldschmidt type height. I think he's like 5'11", something like that, but good enough. And just get it done. Just, I think Sean McAdam said it best. Just rip the Band-Aid off and be done with it.
If you can play third base in the big leagues, you can play first base. I mean, we've seen this with Kevin Youkilis.
Right.
Right. I mean, and if you take throwing out of it, which is part of Devers' problem, I mean, you're cutting the errors down potentially in half. Now he's got to scoop the ball and do those sorts of things, but I don't think he'd be the worst first baseman in the league like he is right now as the third baseman defensively.
There's a ton of examples of third basemen that have gone to first, especially in the latter half of their career. Ryan Zimmerman did it. As you guys mentioned, Napoli did it. So it's the easiest transition. And the thing about Devers is his best attribute defensively is he's good moving laterally to his left or right, which is really all you need to be great at first base. His throwing arm won't be as big of a deal there, because I think he's got a cannon, but doesn't always know where it's going sometimes. So, that will help him if he does transition to first base. His ability to move side to side is actually pretty good.
I think so. And like I said, I've never questioned the effort, and I think he just wants to win. The Red Sox have wasted the first half of his career by surrounding him with people that aren't competitive. So hopefully we'll get some resolution here in a couple days. I mean, I think Friday is your first game, so somebody's got to play third base. And then I think by the middle of next week, somebody – will have had to play third quite a bit. So, although they did say Devers, his shoulder program, so maybe you won't see him that much now that I think about it for the first week or so. But we'll see. All right, so we're going to wrap on that. We'll be back tomorrow morning with we're going to talk some Vlad Jr. He, the Blue Jays did not meet his deadline as far as the extension. So we're going to get into that. Everyone, have a good Thursday. Take care.